while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Morning, church. It's a pleasure to be here again this morning, delivering the Lord's word. I'm thankful for all of you that are gathered here today. I'm seeing so many beautiful faces, and it's just good to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I always start with that, and it's a blessing to be here today, honestly. And so I thank you for all of you that are gathered here today. I thank you for each and every single one of your lives. My sister Louise, as she was introducing today, she said something quite profound, that the message today, different parts, one body, it's quite timely, right? And there's so many reasons why this is the case. As she brought up with what happened at Big Church Festival on Friday, that is devastating, and we are hurting as well. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that if one part of the body hurts, we all are hurting. And so it's painful to see that this is going on. Also, in terms of what is going on with persecution across the world of Christians, it's so timely that at this point in time, we are being directed to consider what it means to be different parts, but yet be in one body. And to introduce today, to show why that is so important, I brought something from home. It's a book that I've been reading. It's called God Smuggler. And, oh, someone's saying, oh, so some people know what this is about. this is a book by a man called Brother Andrew. He's a Dutch missionary. And what he writes about in this book is him going behind the Iron Curtain to smuggle Bibles to people that did not have them. So just for a bit of reference, the Iron Curtain refers to nations like Russia, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia, for example. And this happened around the 50s and 60s. Where I am at in the book, there was a point where he was traveling throughout the USSR, which is modern day Russia. And he's there distributing Bibles, and he goes to a Baptist church and meets a Siberian man there. And he gives this man 7 Bibles, free of charge. This Siberian man is shocked, and he's so happy, he's overflowing with joy at receiving these Bibles, because even getting one Bible in that country is so difficult. It's so restricted in that country. It was at the time. There was a response that Brother Andrew gave in this book to this shock and this joy that the Siberian portrayed. And I just want to read it to you, what he said. Brother Andrew replied with this to the Siberian man. "This is simply one arm of the church looking after the needs of another." That quote has stuck with me so much because it demonstrates the diversity, yet unity, that we should be having in the body of Christ. 2 different men, 2 different situations, yet they came together and you were united in this one moment, this one beautiful moment. I think it demonstrates how diversity can be something beautiful, something that is a strength, really, when it's handled correctly. But at the same time, diversity can be harmful. The reason why I say that is because it can cause division between us when we have disagreements with each other. What I'm trying to get at can be summarized with one quote. Diversity can either be our strength or our stumbling block. It can either strengthen us or it can weaken us. It can weaken relationships between us. And this is the truth, not just in a church scenario, but wherever you may go, whether it be work, whether it be school, whatever place you find yourself in, diversity can either be a good thing used to strengthen or a bad thing, and it can distract relationships and situations. We've obviously been, the motivation for today obviously comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? And what Paul is doing here in 1 Corinthians 12 is outlining diversities of spiritual gifts. We've talked about gifts today. You can see I'm going to bring it out actually. I just want to show you how many gifts there are in this church. And this is it, everyone that has come, not everyone has come today, but yet there are so many gifts that are on this board. And Paul is talking about just a few diversities of gifts like these. For example, prophecy and healing, those were two that I picked up in my reflection and my preparation for today. And then he continues as we go into our main scripture for today, into how diversity should breed unity in the body of Christ. And he depicts the body beautifully. Body of Christ in Greek is soma to Christos. And I think for me that was quite interesting, because soma literally means body, literally the bodies that we inhabit today. Ike was talking about our bodies being temples of the Holy Spirit, and Paul was talking about the body of Christ being like a body, right? And it's been read today, and I'm just going to summarize what was read. We are many members or parts, yet we are joined and formed together in one spirit, united. And I say that it brings a reminder. I remember one time I was leading teen time with Pastor Manuela, and I was speaking to her just one-on-one afterwards, and I was saying, these teens, they have such a... I think I've said this story up here before, but I'll say it again anyways, for those who have not heard. I was saying to her that these teens, they're so gifted. They're saying stuff. I didn't expect them to be saying this and that. And there was something that she said that it stuck with me to this day. And she said that there is no such thing as the junior Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that is within me is within my brother, is within you, is within you. It's the same Spirit. There's no difference in spirit between us. And that is the same in the body of Christ, since we are in the body, right? We are joined, united, and formed together in spirit. And what was also said today is that every part of this body has a unique and meaningful function. I like the way Paul puts it in verse 15. He uses a metaphor by saying, the foot won't do what the hand does, yet it is still relevant. We all have our part to play in the body of Christ, and it may not look the same between two people. It's going to be completely different, but yet we are working towards that common goal. What is that common goal that we are working towards despite our differences? What creates that unity between us? It's the fact that we are working as parts together to represent, testify, and witness Jesus. That is the common goal that we as Christians all are working towards. Today, how I've kind of structured the main bulk of this sermon is I've got three lessons to learn, which will help us to have a greater understanding of what diversity and unity is, and how we are able and how we are to breathe that between each other as brethren in the Lord. Our focus today will be as follows: to let diversity be our strength, not a stumbling block. So that leads us quite swiftly and quite well into our first lesson to learn. And this one is titled Positive and Negative Diversity. There's such things as both of these, and it's something that I kind of stumbled upon when reflecting upon today's word. We can have positive diversity, or you can have negative diversity. Paul gives us an example of positive diversity when he's speaking to the Corinth church in 1 Corinthians 12. As I introduced before, we have many differently gifted members or parts of the church, and they are influenced by the same Spirit. They all work towards the common goal of testifying and witnessing Jesus. There's a synergy about the body of Christ. And what I say by synergy is that the combined effect is greater than the individual parts. I mean, think of the puzzle pieces up there. When you put them together, they create a beautiful picture. There's no picture up there, but maybe it's in progress. Maybe there's a picture that's being formed. But think of any sort of puzzle that you buy in a shop. 250, 500 pieces, all those pieces have a part to play in creating that beautiful picture. Now think of the puzzle pieces if they were independent, that they couldn't be put together. What's the point in them then? What effect do they have? It would be quite limited, right? Hence why I say that there is a synergy and that these parts have to work together in order to create, in the case of the puzzle pieces, a beautiful picture. But in the case of us, we work together to represent Jesus. A synergetic body of Christ becomes an effective body of Christ because we fulfill his will. And Paul also points out an example of negative diversity. And I think it's important to consider that as well, consider both sides of the same coin. And to consider negative diversity, we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to see what I mean by that. It's in this part of scripture that Paul is outlining some contentions that are reported by the household of someone called Chloe. For a bit of reference, in the Corinth church, the church was divided into house churches. It wasn't one big church, for example, like we have here. It was little house churches that all gathered together in small groups. Here was the contention that Paul pointed out. Some were following him, some were following Paul. Some were following Cephas, which is Peter. Some were following Christ. They were supposed to be similar, yet they were sectioning themselves. The way I've put it here is that there's unnecessary sectioning between common believers. And this is a segmentation that Paul challenges. He challenges this division by asking three questions, three very powerful questions. They were obvious, yet they were powerful questions. Here's the three questions that he asks. The first one is my favorite one. Is Christ divided? The second one, was Paul crucified for you? Finally, were you baptized in the name of Paul? I think the obvious answer to these questions is no, right? You know, Christ is not divided, Christ is one. Paul was not crucified for them. They were not baptized in the name of Paul. But he's doing something a bit deeper. He's not trying to trip them up with these rhetorical questions. He's trying to show that diversity can breed division if it's not handled correctly, as I said before, if it's not handled in a positive manner, if it's not used to build up the body. There was diversity in who they followed, and that led to division on who was actually right. Now, I'm talking about the church in Corinth, which was however many years ago, 2,000 years ago, or 1,900, that's just an estimation. But what can that look like today in this church, in this body, in this part of the body? Well, today, division can look like fallout over seemingly trivial matters that could be solved by just listening to each other. That's what that same division can look like today. We are different, of course, and that's okay. We have disagreements, and that is okay as well. But that should not mean that it is then progressing into division. We should not let our disagreements progress us into division. We should seek, as a church, as a part of the body of Christ, to embrace positive diversity. If we do not, we become a one-dimensional church. If we do not allow that diversity to serve in different areas. There's a quote that I want to say that literally summarizes and groups all of this together. Despite our different gifts, we have the same spirit. So we work together to the same goal of glorifying Jesus. And it's pleasant, it's good that we work to that same goal. Psalm 133 verse 1 says this, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." That leads us quite well into our second lesson to learn. The first one, positive and negative diversity. The second lesson to learn is that the body spreads far further. It's sometimes easy not to consider, but the body of Christ is quite big. It goes unnoticed at times that we are such part of such a big, a wide, diverse body. And to kind of put that into perspective, I want to read to you Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29, which kind of shows us what the body actually is. What is the body of believers? Here's what these verses say, Galatians 3, 26, 29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm getting at is that the body of Christ is not just... What I am getting at is that the body of Christ is all those who belong to Jesus Christ. They are all children of God through faith, through their confession of faith, right? It's not just believers in our own circle that we see day to day, that we see on a regular basis. Believers that we may never see face to face are brethren. For example, those that are persecuted for their faith, they are our brethren. Those, for example, at the big church festival, those are just the two that have been referred to today by myself and by my sister Louise. They are our brethren as well. And that is something that has to be considered. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are not determined by amity, which is friendship, but by testimony. I'll read that again. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are not determined by amity, but by testimony. And with that, I want to give you guys a charge. How will that affect our urgency in helping Christians that we may never meet or that we may never see again because of the fact that they are our brethren in the same way those that are sat next to you today are your brethren? Now that one was short and sweet, a short and sweet lesson. I think the final one is the most important one because it talks about love. Love obviously is one of the greatest commandments. God says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, right? And what I've titled this last lesson is Useless Without Love. Recently, I was having a conversation with my cousin. We went to go and have a Bible study. It wasn't anything serious or formal. It was just a conversation, and just wherever scripture comes up or wherever we think about a scripture, we would refer that to each other to help each other, to sharpen each other. And we came to the topic of desiring gifts. And there was something that she said that was pretty important and pretty profound to me. I still remember it. She said that people seem to desire gifts of the Spirit without the fruits of the Spirit. They want to have the gift of speaking in tongues, but they will not have the love that comes. They will not have the peace, the joy that comes with it. And that reminded me of something that is actually said in the scripture about one of these gifts. The gifts that make us diverse, for example, all these on our lovely mosaic here, all these gifts in this body are useless without love. And I can use scripture to back that up. How do we know this? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3 tells us that these gifts are useless without love. And I want to read out to you what those verses say. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3 about gifts and love. If I speak in the tongues of angels, of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. One thing about Paul is the fact that he's quite a blunt type of individual. I was thinking to myself just as I was reading, what would it be like if Paul was stood here today? Whew, that's a question to consider. Even for myself, it's a question to consider. What would Paul say to me as a believer? But what he's saying is correct. Speak tongues, have no love. You're just making noise. Have prophecy and big faith, no love. You are nothing. Give to the poor and give your body away. You gain nothing. You can have every gift of the Spirit possible, but all of them are rendered obsolete without love. Now, I don't say this to discourage you and say, do not desire these greater gifts. We are literally called in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 12, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Yes, desire to have the greater gifts, but know that it is love that makes them useful, that makes them effective as well. Now, I'm talking a lot about love, love, love. What is love? What does it mean? How can you tell if you have this love and if you are expending these gifts in love? Well, curious readers may have read on from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, to go on to 4 to 8, because then Paul gives a beautiful blueprint of what love should look like. He says that love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast. He says all these qualities about love, and these qualities are qualities that you can pick up and discern and ask yourself, check yourself, audit yourself. Am I showing these qualities of love? Does love fail? Because love should never fail. There are so many places around Scripture where love is spoken about, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 8, that it's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, that he tells us, he gives us these blueprints. It's something that I try to do myself as well. And so I challenge you, I ask you, I encourage you even to take these qualities and ask yourself, am I displaying these in my daily life? And if not, ask God. Ask God to help you to display these qualities in your life. So I encourage you to zealously use your gifts and to use them in love. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10 about using gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And I want to point something out there about what Peter says. We are to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Serve others, not ourselves. Our gifts do not serve us. We do not do it to receive the praise. Yes, it is good to receive the praise, to receive the recognition and the accolades for our gift. I do not dispute that. But that should not be our sole reason for expending and using our gifts. The gifts that you all have listed here are not so that other people can recognize you, but it's so that God recognizes that you are using your gifts to glorify him. It's not for the glory of the people here, but it's for his glory. And so I encourage you on that as well, to use your gifts to glorify him. Now, I see that a lot of you, I keep referring back to this because it's just beautiful how many gifts there are here. Some of them align together, some of them don't. Some of them are you know, common, some of them are interesting. Someone said hairdresser. I don't need a hairdresser, but for those of you that do, then we've got one here. Follow us on Baptist Church hairdresser. That's great. But there are some people that may be unsure about the gift that they have. They may be asking God today, God, what gift do I have? What do I have to contribute to this church? I see so many people doing this, doing that. I don't know what my gift is. What can I do? Well, if you are asking, if you are unsure about the gift that God has given you, ask him, because he is the one that will answer you. And remember the fact that your gift serves others. If there is something that you can do that can benefit others, even down to listening, talking to people, being able to articulate yourself in a good manner, that is serving others. That is the biblical definition and way in which gifts should be used. Whether it be prophecy or healing, whether it be hospitality, whether it be speaking, whether it be listening, whatever your gift is, your gift will serve others and will glorify God. And so I want to encourage you on that, that if you are asking, if you are unsure, your gift will serve others and your gift will glorify God. And I want to conclude by just summing up and then talking to you about the greatest gift of all. We saw our first lesson to learn was about positive and negative diversity. And I've encouraged you, let's embrace positive diversity that unites everybody. There's one thing to remember, it's this. We are all united in one spirit. We serve the same God. And so as such, we should remember that in our interactions with each other, even in disagreements. If we are working towards the same goal, the disagreements that we have that can last so long, I promise you, they will be solved so much easier because of that synergy that we will have. The second lesson was the body spreads far further. Remember that church is not about, the ecclesia is not just, sorry, I just used that word randomly. Ecclesia means church in Greek. The ecclesia is not just everyone that is sat here today that you see. It's not the common faces. It's the people that you may not see ever. It's the people that you may see on social media that are going through suffering. They too are our brethren. And finally, our last lesson, useless without love. We must remember that all the gifts that we have, that we use to serve God, they cannot be effective without love. Now to the best bit, the greatest gift of all. And that gift is salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Everyone here has put different gifts that they have. But this is one gift that we can all have by inheritance. You can either be saved right now, or you can be saved if you are not as of yet. And I want to specifically speak to the latter of those people. You may be here today and you are not saved. And I just want to encourage you by telling you that being saved is as simple as ABC. That's the acronym. A is for admit. We must admit that we have all sinned against God. Romans 6:23, I've said it here before, and a lot of you were here to give the answer. The wages of sin is death. And that's plainly what the word says. It's not my words, it's the words of God. But there's good news from that. I didn't even finish that verse. I've just read halfway. Because the B in ABC stands for believe. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's by mercy that we receive that through Jesus Christ. And that mercy saves us from our sin that should condemn us and grants us eternal life as a result of that salvation. And the final letter in that acronym, C, stands for commit. As I've been talking about gifts, we are to live a life that sees Jesus glorified. So let us expend and use our gifts in a way that is loving, remembering that we are diverse, yet we are united.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.